You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
Yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. We have a bunch of stuff this hour. We're going to make fun of Ken Buck some more. We'll talk about these people wanting to destroy it all. We're even going to talk about Andrew Jackson. But before we get to any of that, it's Monday. It's the start of the second hour on Monday, and you know what that means. It's time for Medal of Honor Monday. Every Monday, at this time, we take a Medal of Honor citation and we read it. A Medal of Honor citation is just a write-up on someone who earned a Medal of Honor, what they did. Sometimes they're more detailed, sometimes they're less detailed, oftentimes they die, but it's important to remember the men. Remember their names, remember their deeds, hold them up in front of the next generation as what you should be. What you want to be. Douglas Monroe, Douglas Arthur Monroe, is one that we have done before. He's one I will do again. People think I'm biased towards ones like this just because it involves Marines. And that may be true. This one actually came in from an email listener, or an email that came in from a listener. Maybe you can email love, hate, death threats, whatever. Look, Monroe was in the Coast Guard. Coast Guard obviously doesn't get a ton of love. In fact, we love to make fun of the Coast Guard, but Coast Guard is for real. And the Coast Guard, they did a lot in World War II, for sure. And it's not because he was saving Marines, although I love that. It was how suicidal he was when he did it. Anyway, Chris, without further ado, let's do it.
Ready, aim,
off. Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
It's Douglas Albert Monroe, by the way. Sorry, not Douglas Arthur. Douglas Albert Monroe, U.S. Coast Guard, World War II Pacific. For extraordinary heroism and conspicuous gallantry in action above and beyond the call of duty as petty officer in charge of a group of 24 Higgins boats engaged in the evacuation of a battalion of Marines trapped by enemy Japanese forces at Point Cruz, Guadalcanal, on the 27th of September, 1942. After making preliminary plans for the evacuation of nearly 500 beleaguered Marines, Monroe, under constant strafing by enemy machine guns on the island and at great risk of his life, daringly led five of his small craft toward the shore. As he closed the beach, he signaled the others to land, and then, in order to draw the enemy's fire and protect the heavily loaded boats, he valiantly placed his craft with its two small guns as a shield between the beachhead and the Japanese. When the perilous task of evacuation was nearly completed, Monroe was instantly killed by enemy fire. But that's a lie, by the way. I'll explain in a moment. But his crew, two of whom were wounded, carried on until the last boat had been cleared the beach. By his outstanding leadership, expert planning, and dauntless devotion to duty, he and his courageous comrades undoubtedly saved the lives of many who otherwise would have perished. And he gallantly gave his life for his country. And I will play taps for Douglas here in a moment, but I do need to clarify a couple things. One, he did not die instantly. It says he was instantly killed. That's not true. If you actually read into the story, oh, he was shot and he was shot to pieces and he was dying. He was unconscious when they were trying to maybe try to take care of him. He came to ask if everyone else had lived. He came to check on his brothers in arms to see if they had served. That was his main concern. He's laying there shot to pieces. When you're that shot to pieces, you know you're dying. And his concern was his brothers in arms. That's one. Two. I don't like getting shot in paintball. It's a little disconcerting, if you will, to have paintballs being shot at you whizzing by your head. It's flat out terrifying to be shot at for real. I have, and I did not enjoy the experience. I couldn't imagine purposely putting myself in front of heavy machine gun fire and just sitting there waiting to get hit. Gosh, that's friggin' awesome. And I'd say he's more than earned taps. What an awesome dude, man. What an awesome dude. All right. Before we get back to the dirty communist scum and everything else, I think we should probably, let's walk through some emails tonight. I this border bill has everybody all stressed. It has everyone, me, full of angst too. So you know what? We're just going to set it all aside for a minute and move on to some other things. Now, dear Oracle, I heard you mention Andrew Jackson, who's represented poorly within our education system. The most common reference is the Trail of Tears. Can you elaborate on this event and why Jackson was wrong? The country was filled with actively hostile occupants who would scalp, rape, and murder the citizens of this country if given a chance. To be given your own land seems like a more than generous agreement. Thank you. Okay, well, let's talk about this, actually. Because what you just said isn't necessarily accurate either, and I'm not being insulting at all. That's presented oftentimes as the flip side of, well, we genocided all the Indians. That's always the America hating left. That's their stance. It was genocide. And then on the right, as a natural reaction to that, oftentimes you will hear the right say, well, what? We were super nice. Gave them everything we needed. Free land. What's their problem? Okay. First, this was the Indian Removal Act. The Indian Removal Act. It was not just one band of Indians. In fact, we're going to do a little American Indian talk here for a moment. This was five different ones. These are the main ones. It was Choctaw and Cherokee and Seminole and I'm going to forget a couple, but it's five different bands of Indians. Okay. What was it about? Well, we have to talk overall what was happening in the country. We were busy slowly conquering America, trying to do things nicely, which I find to be frankly ridiculous. But listen, We were founded by Christians. It is a Christian country because it was Christians who founded it, and they had lofty views of themselves. And I'm not saying that to be insulting. They viewed themselves as being Christian, and therefore they wanted to be loving and kind. At the same time, they did want to conquer it. They did want to live here, and there were other people here. The United States of America was conquered. We conquered the Indian tribes. You don't have to hand-wring about it. You don't have to feel bad about yourself about it. All lands are conquered lands, as the saying goes. The Indian tribes were conquering each other. Eventually, it just happened. You got swallowed up or run out of your land by a bigger, stronger tribe. Why were the Apaches mainly in Arizona? They used to be in Texas. Well, the Comanches came in, and the Apaches realized they had to move on west. That's the way life goes. Conquest. We conquered the Indians. We, back then, were thought of as this horrible, racist, misogynistic country. But we were agonizing, as Americans, when I say we, I'm talking about Americans, were agonizing back then over what to do with the Indians who were here. Well, I want this land. I mean, I need this land. There's good farmland here and good timber. There's gold, but the Indians are here. We don't want to kick them out, right? Maybe we can come to an agreement with them. Okay, we came to an agreement with them, but that in and of itself got extremely complicated, and let's talk about it. And this is probably going to be not wonderful for most people to hear. Nevertheless, it's the truth. It just is. Whether you're on the left, right, middle, this is kind of how it went. So I'll explain in a moment. Before I do that, let me explain this. I love getting emails from you when some of our partners, when any of our partners help you. I love that you're already enjoying the 3-week quick start kit from Relief Factor. I love that. And I love that because chronic pain, look, it's something I'm familiar with. People in my life are familiar with. My wife is familiar with. When people who live, your ankle always hurts. Your thumb always hurts. Your neck's always bothering you. It grinds down your life. Don't you get shorter tempered with people around you? I do. I wish I didn't, but I do. You start snapping at people. It's awful. It's awful. Relief Factor allows you to be free of that naturally. That's what I love, because you can't live forever with pain. So you look for solutions, and the solutions are almost always a pill bottle. And that's horrible for you. Relief Factor is the natural way to fight this pain and inflammation. You don't have to take my word for it. Try it for 3 weeks. For $19.95, they sell you a 3-week quick start kit. They're borderline cocky with how well it works. They know it works. Go get one. 1-800-4-RELIEF. Or go to their website, relieffactor.com.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Some reason we're now talking about Andrew Jackson and the Indian Removal Act and the Trail of Tears and all kinds of stuff. And I'm kind of doing, look, we'll get back to politics. I'm doing a little background on America and its relationship with the Indian tribes here. Okay, so we're founded, a bunch of Christians found the country, see themselves as being nice and loving. At the same time, the land itself needs to be conquered. And so from its very beginning, the country agonized over how to handle things. Let's come to an agreement here. How about a peace agreement? Hey, you can live here and we'll live here. But this is a big reason why so many bad things happen. When you try to conquer things nicely, it doesn't end up nice at all. It just still ends up as conquest. When we would negotiate something with a tribe, let's call it the Seminoles. We use the Seminoles. They're famous Florida-based. It's famous Indian tribe, really cool tribe. But it would apply to any of them. Cherokee, Choctaw, doesn't matter. Anyway, the cool Blackfeet. Blackfeet's a cool one. Anyway, when you negotiate with a tribe, we're used to having someone in charge. Hey, who's the president of your tribe? Right? Who's the president of the Seminoles? And this is not, in general, how the Indian tribes worked. You see, there were Seminole Indians,
But then there were several different groups of Seminole Indians who were completely separate from each other. So this little sect of Seminole Indians, they might have a chief who was old and wise and well thought of and very powerful, but he has no authority whatsoever, none, to go to the tribe next door, also a Seminole Indian tribe, and tell them, you will do this and you won't do that. But we would get with these Indian tribes and we'd come up with an agreement. Hey, sit down with us. We're not going to touch your land. You can hunt all the buffalo you want here. You, in turn, leave our settlers alone. You won't touch them, right? And everything will work out great for everybody, right? Okay, sign on the dotted line. Hey, he signed on the dotted line. We're good with the Seminoles. Except you didn't sign an agreement with the Seminoles. You signed an agreement with one Seminole tribe. So a week later, when some settlers get raided and the women are kidnapped, the men are killed, the livestock is taken, and it turns out the evidence left behind points towards Seminoles, the United States of America takes that as some kind of betrayal, the breaking of a treaty, when that Seminole tribe who did the raiding never signed any kind of a treaty and never intended to follow any kind of a treaty. And so then for us, okay, well, we're at war with the Seminoles. Well, this was the Indian Removal Act was all about all of these tribes that were in Southern America. Just think Georgia, Florida. That's the idea behind it. This is an area that we were taking over quickly. They had to go. In our minds, they had to go. So they decided to remove them. Now, let's be real, real clear about this. A lot of Indians died during this removal. This was not, no matter what your history professor says, some kind of mass genocide of the Indians. We didn't take a bunch of Indians, and I'm not saying we never raided a village or killed innocent Indians. Of course we did. We conquered a country. That's part of what we did. I'm not saying that. But we didn't take any Indians and line them up on a ditch and shoot them in the back of the head or anything like that. We were removing these Indian tribes from the lands they had known and moving them to lands out west. The problem, more than anything, not that this would be any comfort to an Indian starving to death, the problem was a logistical problem. They wanted the tribes gone. They had a plan of a place to move them. What they didn't properly plan for was getting them there, sheltering them on the way there, and feeding them on the way there. It was not a million Indians or any of this other idiotic stuff your history teacher tells you about the Indian Removal Act or what's known as the Trail of Tears now, but a bunch of Indians died of exposure, thirst, hunger while they were being removed from one place to another. Look, obviously, if the entirety of Andrew Jackson's life was the Trail of Tears, then I'd probably be more sympathetic to the people who were calling him some kind of jerk. But he didn't just emerge from the swamp, kill a bunch of Indians, and then go back into the swamp, never to be seen again. Andrew Jackson was a born fighter. That's how he was raised. That's what he did his whole life. Again, I just want to emphasize, at the age of 14, he fought in the Revolutionary War against the British and was captured, and he carried around a scar on his head his entire life. Why? Because at 14, a British officer told him, "Shine my boots," and Andrew Jackson told him where to shove his boots, and the officer was so mad he slashed him with a sword. The Battle of New Orleans, helping save this country, is a human being who had some really strong thoughts about things. And yes, there's no question he's responsible for the death of a bunch of Indians. He was an Indian fighter, too. He's fighting them all over the South. Still, one of those guys, maybe you wouldn't want him to babysit your kids. You don't build nations without guys like Andrew Jackson. That's a fact. All right. Now, let's talk about this whole destroy everything. We get a lot of questions about that destroy everything. There's a founder of something called Woke Kindergarten. Oh, I can't wait to play this doozy for you before we get to that. Andrew Jackson didn't need any chalk for a couple of different reasons. One, his upbringing. Two, he wasn't raised in modern America. In modern America, there's estrogen in our water. There's estrogen in our plastic. We drink it. We shower in it. It contains our stuff. And we wonder why our T levels are in free fall. If Andrew Jackson lived today, he would have needed a male vitality stack from chalk, or he never would have even fought the Battle of New Orleans. Get some chalk in your body. A male vitality stack or a female vitality stack, or get some chocolate powder as the ultimate pre-workout. Start out your day with chocolate powder and then Chad mode for the pre-workout if you really, really want to launch off. But they're all natural. They're all natural. Natural herbal supplements, and they have a massive discount until the end of February on subscriptions for life, for the lifetime of the subscription. Chalk.com. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
The word on the street then was, he's too country for pop. But then once I got to country, it was, he's too pop for country. So I kind of never really had a place to fit in, but that's exactly how and why I fit. I just embraced that. Like, yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, reminding you, email us. We love your emails. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. All emails are welcome. They all go right to Jewish producer Chris. He prints out most of them and hands them to me. I used to read all of them. We get way too many now. And some people, they really take a lot of time with the email. They're really long. It really shouldn't be that long. There's no reason it should be that long. All right. Now, we got this little tidbit courtesy of Libs of TikTok. I want to make sure she gets credit for it. But there's something called woke kindergarten.
What you should understand is this human being was giving gobs of money to educate our nation's youth. Now, oftentimes when I discuss communists, Democrats, I talk about how they just want to burn it all down. And even for people who really kind of get it, that's hard to accept, because who would want to burn down a house they're living in, right? Who wants to sink a boat when you're in the boat? And that's the logical connection you often make that can't quite translate in your mind. How can these people hate this country so much that they just want to burn it down, fill it with illegals, endless spending, chop the penis off of every kid, whatever? They want to burn everything down. It's crazy to someone like you who doesn't think in those terms. And I understand that. I think it's crazy too. Nevertheless, one thing I've learned in my older age is you have to accept reality as it is, not the reality you want or not the reality you think you should have. These people on the left, they really genuinely hate this place. And the things they do, it's never about tolerance or kindness, or in fact, it's never about anything they say it's about. It's always just about burning it all down. Sit back. Don't take it from me. Take it from her.
And I am 100% 10 toes down anti-Israel. I believe Israel has no right to exist. I believe the United States has no right to exist. I believe every settler colony who has committed genocide against native peoples, against indigenous people, has no right to exist. White supremacy destroys for the sake of destruction. Abolition destroys for the sake of creation. We are not the same. I have an unwavering respect for children, an unwavering love and care and compassion for children, a commitment to children and to their freedom, to their learning, to their lives, to sustaining their lives. Y'all are the demons. Y'all are the villains. We've been trying to end y'all, get free of y'all.
They really do want to burn it all down. And they really do think they're the good guy in this story. That's our challenge. And they're used to throwing up defenses that appeal to you and your values. Always remember that. That's why they're so quick to pull out whatever card they can pull out, whether it be the racist card or the misogyny card, whatever card they can pull out. They're quick to pull those out to protect themselves from any criticism as they burn it all down. Exhibit A, Mayor Brandon Johnson of Chicago.
I have children who attend schools who have soccer games, y'all. You know, you all are asking me as if I'm not a parent in this city. I get it. I'm mayor. I get it. But you're asking me to give you a date, and I have to court. Do you understand that you have not had a mayor like me? I get that. I have a wife. I have children. They have schedules. And plus, we still have...
You want me to do my job? I've got a wife and kids and stuff. I can't... Look, you want me to go to soccer practice and be mayor? What do you think? I'm superhuman? Gosh, jeez, these people. Jesse, hope you had a nice day off yesterday. What? We all suffered, but I hope it was nice to you. I'm turning 50 this year, and visiting Alaska is on my bucket list. Do you have any recommendations? I've only been to Alaska once. I don't have any recommendations. I know it was friggin' awesome, though. I'm going back to Alaska. Oracle, you've been hitting some important issues, but none will be more important than this. For the Jesse Kelly burger, do you use American cheese or deluxe American cheese? I feel like your white trash self would use regular, but even white trash splurges from time to time. I've never purchased deluxe American cheese in my entire life. I don't know what the difference is, Chris, because I'm not buying it. The regular American cheese will be just fine for me. Chris, I went to In-N-Out Burger last week. Shut up, Chris. It's delicious. I went to In-N-Out Burger last week, and I got a value meal. Well, do they still call them value meals? I don't even know that you'd call them. I got a triple cheeseburger with fries, and I think it was a soda or something like that, a Coke or something like that. $12. $12. I honestly, It really hit me because I went to, you know what? Everyone knows I like high-end Mexican food. So we went to Taco Bell last week for a family of four. A family of four. $55 in Taco Bell. I don't want to sound like my dad. I don't want to sound, back in my day, but how do normal people live? How do people get by now? It blows me away. And then you see these scumbags on TV, like Chuck Schumer talking about just handing billions of dollars away. Here, Ukraine, a bunch for you, and Israel, a bunch for you, and you, American. Just suck it, peasant.
We're at a turning point in America. This bill is crucial, and history will look back on it and say, did America fail itself? Why is it crucial? Well, if we don't aid Ukraine, Putin will be walk all over Ukraine. We will lose the war, and we could be fighting in Eastern Europe in a NATO ally in a few years. Americans won't like that. If we don't help Israel defend itself against Hamas, that perpetual war will go on and on and on. If we don't help humanitarian aid to the starving Palestinians in Gaza, hundreds of thousands could starve. And the border, everyone has said it's chaos. You just saw Speaker Johnson. He said it's chaos. We have to do something legislative a few months ago. So this is crucial for America. It's a turning point. History is going to look over our shoulders and say, did we rise to the occasion? To his credit, Mitch McConnell did.
They lie about everything at all times. Every single time a Democrat talks, they are lying. 99% of the time when a Republican talks, they are lying. But it is 100% of the time for Democrats. They hate this country. They understand the border has to be open for them to burn it down. They know they have all the money, all the authority, every law they could ever need. They already have everything. What they want is a bunch of money to send over to Ukraine and Israel so they can keep getting gigantic defense contractor donations. That's what they want. They want to wash a bunch of corrupt money through foreign countries, especially Ukraine. Israel actually doesn't struggle with that the way Ukraine does, but they want to wash a bunch of dirty money through foreign countries, and they're just pillaging us to do it. That's what grinds me so much. I mean, I was talking about Taco Bell. Normal Americans can't live life the way they were living life even a few years ago. And these people, billions for you and billions for you and billions for you. Nothing for us. Friggin' disgraceful. All right. Apparently Aldi is not big on white people. We'll talk about that. Hang on.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. I almost didn't even come back, Chris. I almost just let it jam. Why don't you like this song? It's a great jam. You know what? People who don't like that song, it says so much about you, Chris. And none of it's good. I want you to know that none of it's good. It's all bad. And
I already thought poorly of you. And now it's even worse. That's even the name of the band is cool. It's called Tragically Hip. What a great band name. I wouldn't expect someone like you to know anything about that. Who shops at Aldi? You shop at Aldi? I will admit, the Kellys have shopped at Aldi more than once. Great prices in Aldi. Here's the job listing they have. Aldi will, quote, will prioritize individuals coming from the following communities. Refugee, neurodivergent. Chris, look that up. I don't know what that word means. Single parent. Blind or low vision. Wait, that's me. Deaf or hard of hearing. Huh? What? That's funny. Black, Hispanic, Asian, military veterans, the elderly, LGBTQ, and justice impacted individuals. So the straight white dude doesn't have to apply, huh? Guess he doesn't get a job at Aldi. I only pointed this out to point this out. We must become lawsuit happy on the right. The right has been typically kind of not that thrilled about suing people. It's always been kind of the loony left wing thing, right? Ah, just sue this one and sue that one. We have got to start suing. We have got to start suing these corporations to their knees to force them to stop the anti-white racism that is becoming systemic in this nation. It is becoming systemic in this nation the same way racism of other forms used to be systemic in this nation. The exact same way. And it's got to stop. It has got to stop. And we're going to have to make them stop. So we have got to start suing. By the way, did I ever tell you, speaking of suing people, Chris, did I ever tell you about the scammers on the RV lot I had? Oh, I never told you. Okay, so you remember. Hold on. We're going to pause on politics for a moment. We're going to pause on politics. Everyone pause. I have to tell you a little story. Before I tell you the story, just I want to again emphasize how wonderful it is to work with Pure Talk. The youngest son, there was an incident this weekend. We don't want to go into it with the stairs and the phone and we don't need to go into it. You know how nice it is when you have to get a hold of your cell phone company to speak to a pleasant person who speaks English? You never, ever have to worry about calling Pure Talk and getting that beep, beep, click, click, click. You never have to hear that ever on the phone. A patriotic company that loves the country so much, they hire Americans who speak English. And your cell phone bill will go way down, even if you have a son who breaks his. Switch to Pure Talk tonight. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. Tonight is the night. Switch to Pure Talk. #250, say Jesse Kelly. All right. So I was selling RVs. You know, that's the job I did before I started doing this. I've had a million jobs. This is one of the jobs I did. I was a sales manager. And it was in Texas where I was selling them. And this actually took place up in the Dallas area. I live in Houston now. But our RV lot was in Dallas, and it was this big open lot, right? So there's no enclosed sales room. It was a big open lot. Our office was a double wide mobile home, and that's what we had. And then you had this big RV lot, and it was hot, really, really hot. That's going to come into play here in a moment. And I have this family come in, dad, mom. I would guess they were in their 50s or 60s. So not young. Guess they're in 50s, 60s, multiple kids. And a couple grandkids. Okay, so there's a big old family. All right. Well, see if we can find them something. They start asking me about this RV or that RV. And I say, oh, yeah, I think I'll help you out. And so I take them out on the lot. I think I have what they tell me they're looking for. And now none of the RVs are plugged in. There's no air conditioning. So it's not only, it's 100 outside. It's 120 inside the RV. It's hot. You are going to sweat when you go out there and RV shop in Texas in the summer. Okay, no big deal. But some of these folks are older. Some are a little heavier too. And I want to make sure they're taken care of, trying to be the good customer service guy. I take them out. I have them sitting in this RV and they're kind of dabbing their forehead and everyone's sweating. And I tell them, hey, I'm going to run back to the RV shop real quick and grab us all some waters. I'm going to go get us some cold waters. I'll be right back. They looked like they were liking it. They were really kicking the tires. Oh, no, the bad ear. Okay. Good sign. I hop on my golf cart. That's how we got around the RV lot. Scoot on back to the mobile home, throw a couple waters in a bag, throw them on my golf cart, head back. I've probably been gone maybe 5 minutes, probably not 5 minutes. I was real fast. I didn't want to leave them alone out there too long, make sure I'm helping them along, guiding them through everything. Maybe 5 minutes. I get back. There's no one on the outside of the RV anymore. There were people on the outside and inside. Everyone's inside. Okay, that's weird. No big deal. Grab my waters. I walk up to the door. The dude is sitting at the dining room table, one hand on his lower back, the other hand kind of gripping his face as if he's in a whole lot of pain. I walk in and I'm all, what's wrong? Because I notice the RV is tipped over towards the front. The RV fell over when we were in it. I'm hurt, and I think I'm hurt bad. And, of course, she jumps in now and says, yeah, he's hurt. And I said, hold on. The RV fell over. I'd spent a bunch of time in RVs. They had never fallen over. There's a solid pole on the front that you lower down to make sure the RV is balanced. So it would be very difficult to get one to fall over without it. So I run up and look. You know, I said it's a solid pole. They had sawed it in half when I went inside. Very clearly, I've spent enough time with a saw in my hands to know what it looked like. They even had the shavings still on the ground. They sawed the pole in half and then went inside and bounced around the RV until they got the pole to snap and tip over. And he's sitting in there faking an injury. They, of course, had to run to the hospital afterwards and sued the RV dealership and lost because it was what they had done several times before. A whole family of scammers. How wild is that? And here, you know what the crazy part is this? I think about this a lot. How messed up are those kids going to be? I mean, are you a grandpa? Or did you have a grandpa? My grandpa on my dad's side, Grandpa Jack, died when I was very, very young. I remember him, but just a little. But my Grandpa Hank on my mom's side was a stud. He was just like one of the, just the ultimate dude. Farmer, huge family. They loved him to the day he died. Veteran. Like he was a salt of the earth guy. Everybody loved my Grandpa Hank. And you know, he was a grandpa's grandpa. If you're over there, you need some guidance on something or you need him to sneak you some candy, grandpa, it was the grandpa, right? Hey, Jesse, you want a BB gun to go shoot at the rats? Yes, I do, Grandpa. Thank you very much. How wild would it be to get taught by your grandpa and father how to scam people? How jacked up does your mind have to be by the time you're older if that's your grandpa? Isn't that wild? That's a true story. Anyway, we still have another hour. Let's talk about online extremism. The online extremism they're looking out for now. And the Air Force is at it again. Hang on.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
Yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.